Parshas Bahaloscha, I'd like to discuss tonight Be'ez Hashem, very famous Rashi, and we'll see Be'ez Hashem different interpretations of it. Right in the beginning of the Parsha, when the Torah describes the mitzvah of Hadlokas Amaneirah, and the Torah tells us that Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, he was the one who was charged with the mitzvah of lighting and preparing the candles every day in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah tells us, Vayas Kein Aharon. And Aharon indeed did so. Indeed he did so. And there is the famous Rashi, that Rashi says, what does it mean that he did so? Lahagid Shvochoi Shel Aharon. This comes to teach us the praise of Aaron HaKohen, Sheloi Shino. Sheloi Shino. And it is these two words that we're going to concentrate on tonight. Sheloi Shino. Aaron HaKohen is being praised by the Torah. This is what it means that he did so. Sheloi Shino. Literally translated, that he didn't change. He didn't change the mitzvah in any way. And of course, the Mefarshim are very much troubled to understand what exactly is the praise over here for Aaron HaKohen. He did not change in any way the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. Why would he want to change it? And why is that considered praiseworthy that he didn't? So the Mira Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Shmulevitz, he once explained, he said it in Yiddish, it only really works in Yiddish, but we'll translate. Do you know what it means, he didn't change? Er hat nicht verbesser gemacht. It doesn't mean that he didn't do it differently. It means he didn't try to do it better. He didn't outsmart the Torah. If this is what the Torah says the mitzvah is, he didn't come, as the expression goes in Yiddish, as an oibachachem. Oh, I've got a better way, perhaps, of lighting the menorah. Rather, he lit the menorah exactly as instructed by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And I'd like, perhaps, to explain the way I think we can understand this explanation of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in greater depth. That Aaron HaKohen did not, as in any way, try and better the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah, but rather exactly as instructed, that's the way he fulfilled it. And I think this can be explained in light of a very famous Beis HaLevi in Parashas Kisiso. When the Beis HaMikdash was constructed, if you look in Parashas Pekudei, there is an expression that repeats itself time and time and time and time again. And this expression is Ka'asher Sivo Hashem Es Moshe. They constructed the Oroin as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe. They made the Menorah as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe, etc., etc. If I'm not mistaken, it says it 18 times in Parashas Pekudei, that the Beis HaMikdash was instructed Ka'asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. Why this emphasis? Why must the Torah point out in such a repetitious manner that the Beis HaMikdash was constructed exactly in accordance with instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe? Says the Beis HaLevi, a Yesoid Godoil in Avodas Hashem. He says, let's turn the clock back a little bit to the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel, which troubles everybody who learns it. All the Mefarshei HaTorah are, of course, at great pains to try and explain. How can it be? How can it possibly be that the Doir Deor, the generation who saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Har Sinai, Matan Torah, how can it possibly be that they just all rejected it? And they were Poyrek Oil. They wanted to get rid of the Oil HaTorah, sever their connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and rather be subservient to a golden calf. it's too staggering to understand on a simple level. Says the Beis Halevi, and of course he's quoting the Rishonim, and this is very well known, that no, chas v'shalom, far from it. They had no intention whatsoever of removing the yoke of Torah and just rejecting everything they'd received at Matan Torah. But rather, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't return, in their opinion, on time, they thought that Klal Yisrael now was devoid of leadership, and they needed, as it were, a medium, an emtsa'i, through which they could connect to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, explain in depth, ayin shof. Says the Beis Halevi. That means that essentially their machshava was latoif. They had nothing but positive intentions. So where did they go wrong? Where did they go wrong? Says the Beis Halevi, and this is his big yesod. He says, every mitzvah in the Torah, all 613, without fail, yesh bo ta'amim, the kavonos, the soidos. Every one of the mitzvahs has deep meaning, and hints, and ideals, and it is through performance of these mitzvahs that one brings about great tikkunim in oilomos, all very, very deep. So he says, for an example, look at the Mishkan. We can be rest assured that there's great meaning in why the menorah needed to look this way, and why did the Orion have to look like that, and why is it that the Mizbeach was made from this material and at that height. And we can be assured, obviously, that none of these numbers or measurements or designs are just arbitrary, but rather each one of them has profound, deep meaning. If that's the case, if in theory you could get down to the bottom of it and you could work out what exactly is being represented, what is the deeper meaning of it all, and what are we trying to achieve and bring about with all of the mitzvahs, then in theory I should be allowed to tamper and play around with the mitzvahs if, as it were, I program them accordingly so that we'll bring about the same result. Let's give a moshel. He doesn't bring this moshel, obviously. You buy a computer, you open the manual, and you're told, if you want to access program number 123, this is the code. A different program, there's a different code. Now, if you're not computer program savvy, then obviously you've got to type those buttons and those keys, because otherwise you will not get to the correct destination. But what happens if you're a computer programmer? And you know you've managed to figure it out why it is that pressing precisely these keys will get you a particular function. You've cracked the code. If you've cracked the code, then you can recode and reprogram your computer, because you know exactly the way it works. If you don't know the way it works, obviously you can't. But if you've cracked the code, then you can do it your way. Wouldn't the same be true in mitzvahs as well? If I can only appreciate the depths and the profound meaning of every aspect of every mitzvah and what it is we're trying to achieve, then I can, as it were, reprogram the mitzvahs to bring about the same, or perhaps even better, result. Says the Beis Halevi, that is 100% correct in theory. In practice, it is 100% wrong. In other words, our moshel of the computer programmer is completely flawed. As the Beis Halevi puts it, the reason why a particular mitzvah performed in a particular way brings about the desired effect is not merely as a result of the particular act, rather because you are following the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in as much as you rewire and you reprogram the mitzvahs, you can add up all the numbers and your cheshbonus will be 100% correct. Your mitzvah, however, is 100% wrong. That's where the moshul to the computer falls short. The computer programmer designed a particular code. If you can crack that code and design your own, the computer programmer has no problem with that whatsoever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, does. What's performed and achieved by all of the mitzvahs is only because they are a direct result of being the Rotzoin Hashem. And the minute you deviate in any which way, even if you try, as it were, to better the mitzvah, that's fundamentally flawed because it's no longer Rotzoin Hashem. And that, says the Beis HaLevi, was Klal Yisrael's grave mistake in making the Egel. Whilst all of their cheshbonos might have been correct, whilst all of their intentions may have been very noble, why were they fundamentally flawed? Because at the end of the day, it wasn't Rotzon Hashem. That particular method, that particular route in Avodas Hashem was never sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no DIY Yiddishkeit, however noble your intentions are. Says the Beis HaLevi, now we understand. Chazal tell us that after having performed the Egel, the Kapara, the atonement for Klal Yisrael, came about through the construction of the Mishkan. They brought gold for the Egel, now come and bring gold for the Mishkan. Says the Beis HaLevi, now we understand why on 18 occasions the Torah tells us Ka'asher Sivo Hashem Es Moshe. That was absolutely fundamental in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. In order for them to achieve an atonement for the Chet HaEgel, where the Yisoid of the Aveira was being not Ka'asher Sivo Hashem Es Moshe, the atonement Mido Keneged Mido has to come about by constructing a menorah, an oroi, a mizbeah. How so? Exactly in accordance with instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no reprogramming or rewiring the rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, says the Beis HaLevi, is why that phrase, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, is repeated time and time and time again. Because that was the entire yesod of the Mishkan. The yesod of the Mishkan, which was a kapara for the Egel, it was all on the basis of, we are now adhering strictly to the tzivui of Hashem, as opposed to what we did when we sinned with the Egel. And in fact, he doesn't point this out, but I think the very obvious addition to the Beis HaLevi is that we now understand, when we read in Parashas Shmini, that the two sons of Aaron HaKohen died, great Tzadikei Olam, Bikrovei Ekodesh. It was on the opening day of the Beis HaMikdash that they passed away. And what was their sin? Says the Torah, an Eish Zora Asher Loi Siva Oisa. For all their valid and noble intentions, they brought a fire Asher Loi Siva Oisa. That is absolutely antithetical to the entire nature and yesod of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why they had to be punished so severely. On the Beis HaMikdash opening day, when the Mishkan is being consecrated, the Mishkan is all about Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, on that very day to bring an Eish, which is Asher Loi Tzivo Oisam. That was necessarily an Aveira which was magnified. And that's why they got punished so severely. Let's now come back to our Rashi. Aaron HaKohen is lighting the menorah every day. And Rashi tells us that the praise of Aaron HaKohen was Shaloi Shino. As the Miriam Rosh Hashiva explained, what does that mean, Shaloi Shino? He didn't try and change, deviate, or even better the mitzvah. In light of the Beis HaLevi, I think we have added meaning to this. Who was the one who constructed the Egel in the first place. It was Aaron HaKoyen. And he is coming into the Mishkan, and this is his particular avodah in the Mishkan, Hadlokas HaMenorah. And if the whole avodah of the Mishkan is a kapara for the Egel, then how fitting and appropriate it is that Aaron HaKoyen, who to an extent was responsible for the Egel, he must ensure that the way he lights the menorah is exactly kasher tzibo Hashem esmoishu. And that's what Rashi tells us. Lahagid shvochei shel Aaron sheloi shino. Why would he have wanted to change it? Maybe to improve. Maybe to better it. Only 7 branches on the menorah? How about 27? Only 3 amos high? Only 3 steps? Maybe we can make it 5 times as large. Of course we can, but then it won't bring about a kapara for the eagle. It will no longer be kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. And if Aaron HaKoyen is, as it were, the first who needs that kapara for the eagle, then of course he's also the first to strictly adhere to the instructions shaloi shino. He didn't deviate, he didn't alter, he didn't try and better the mitzvah in any way. Had he done so, that would have been an undoing of the entire kapara of the Beis HaMikdash for the Chet HaEgel, for which he was responsible. You know, I saw just this week when the Posek HaDoer of Moshe Feinstein passed away. So the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir Yeshiva in America of Shmuel Birnbaum, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, he said, how do you give a hesped for a Moshe Feinstein? And he said, the only thing I can say is, I can quote the Pasuk in Koheles, which says, Al Tehi Tzadik Harbe. Don't be too big a tzadik. What does that mean, don't be too big a tzadik? And as he defined it in very sharp terminology, if somebody is too big a tzaddik sometimes, he's no longer adhering to Toiras Hashem. This is Toiras Atzmai. He's no longer subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather to himself. And he said, what can we say about Rav Moshe? For all his tremendous bekiyus, for all his tremendous tzidkus, for all his tremendous ge'oinus, and at the end of the day, Rav Moshe Feinstein knew one thing and one thing only. Dalet Chelke Shulchan Aruch. What it says, it says. And what it doesn't, it doesn't. And to the contrary, the bigger a person is, the greater it is that he adheres to the strict letter of the law. That's Altihi Tzahadik Arbe. That's what it means. Lahagid Shvochoi Shel Aaron Sheloi Shino. In this Rashi, Sheloi Shino, I'm sure everybody here has heard the very famous interpretation, maybe it's a more Musa orientated interpretation. Everybody explains that, you know what it means, Lahagid Shvochei Shel Aaron Sheloi Shino? What does that mean, he didn't change? It means he never lost enthusiasm for the mitzvah. A very well-known explanation. Shaloi Shino doesn't mean he didn't change the mitzvah. It means he didn't change the manner in which he performed the mitzvah. It was always performed with the same simcha and with the same hislavus. And if that's the case, then we are translating the word Shaloi Shino. Translation is to change, to alter. He did not alter, he did not change. What did he not change?
No.
He did not change the manner in which he performed the mitzvah. I'd like to share with you a Sfas Emes, a one-line Sfas Emes. And like every Sfas Emes, it cannot be taken superficially, it needs a lot of thought. Because the Sfas Emes has what seems to be a very novel interpretation of this Rashi. And in fact, it seems to be not only different, but almost opposite interpretation of Rashi. It seems to be almost the opposite. The Sfasemer says that I'd like to suggest, he writes, in Tof Resh Mem Gimel, 1883, he writes that you remember in Parashas Miketz, Paroi has two dreams, Yosef interprets them, and then Yosef uses the following words. He says to Paroi, this dream has this explanation, this one has a different interpretation, and then he says, Va'al Kishonois Hachaloi. Do you know why the dream was repeated? That has an interpretation as well. So you see that the word lishonois can mean to repeat. To repeat. The dreams were repeated. Says the Sfas Emes, Dvorim Amukim. Do you know what it means? Lahagid shvoche shel Aaron shelo ishino? Not as we just translated, that he didn't do it differently. Rather, he never did it as a repeat of yesterday. Rather, as he writes, there were never 2 days ba'ofen echad. Every single day he found an oir chadosh ba'hadlokas hameiros. This is a very novel interpretation. The Sfas Emes is not translating the word shino as in to be different, rather, to be repeated. Aaron HaKohen never repeated what he did yesterday whilst lighting the menorah. Every day was an Oir Chodosh. When I first saw this Sfas Emes a number of years ago, I thought to myself, this seems to be not only different, but in fact the exact opposite of the previous translation. The previous translation was Shaloi Shino, he did not change. And what's the Sfas Emes saying? Every day he changed. Every day it was something new. The first interpretation was, he did it with the same simcha, it was always the same. Loi Shino, he didn't alter. The Sfas Emes is saying he never repeated. It sounds like two opposite translations. But I think that if we think about it carefully, we'll see that in fact they are two halves of one very important coin. Let's explain. When we get an aliyah to the Torah, as we know, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, you go up on the right hand side of the bima. When you leave, you go down on the left hand side. This is actually learned from a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. In Yecheskel it says that when you enter the Beis HaMikdash, if you enter through one gate, you leave through another. And from that we learn, so too in the Beis HaKnesses, which is like the Beis HaMikdash, you go up to the Bima in one direction and you leave on another. Why did the Navi tell us that you have to leave the Beis HaMikdash through a different gate? Why on earth can I not leave through the very same gate that I entered in the first place? Listen to what the Chassid Yaivetz in the Sechtes Ovois explains, as quoted by the Nira Rosh Hashiva in a different shmuz. The Chassid Yaivetz, not to be confused with Rav Yaakov Emden, who wrote She'elas Yaivetz, the Chassid Yaivetz was almost a Rishon. He lived at a time of the Spanish expulsion. In fact, he was in Spain and was expelled from Spain. He says the most incredible interpretation. Do you know why you have to leave through a different gate? So he writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makbid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was particular. Don't walk through the same gate twice. Do you know why? Teva ha'odam. Because it's human nature to become lokut bidvarim bahasmodosa, which means a person becomes switched off or appalled when things are just repeated again and again. He says a phenomenal understanding. When a person came to the Beis HaMikdash and undoubtedly was overcome with awe with Moira, with cover for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he would leave through the same gate, do you know what would happen? That would be watered down. Because as he was leaving through that same gate, he would look around and say, "Ah, I've been here before, seen it, done it." And that's why the Torah says, the Navi describes, you leave through a different gate. There should be a chidush. If you came in through one gate, leave through another. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Hahergo, which means habit, is the Oyev HaGodol, is the greatest enemy to any feeling of Kedusha, he writes. A person can be all charged up and inspired, and then what happens? Bo HaHergo, habit, rote, dismisses and waters it all down. Umechaber es gachalei hakodesh. It extinguishes that spark and that fire of Kedusha. And of course, the greatest example would be our Sedra, when Klal Yisrael complain about the mon. The mon, this miraculous food, how could they not have been inspired by it? Because it was the same every day, day in and day out. And of course, as we did expect, he quotes the famous Pasuk in the Navi in Yeshaya, when Yeshaya HaNavi bemoans that Klal Yisrael are keeping Torah, and they're keeping mitzvahs. Did you know how so? Melumada. Melumada means by rote. They've pressed the on button on the mitzvah machine, have never switched it off, and it's just running and running and running and running, and it's all very mechanical. There is no dvar chidush in it whatsoever. And he explains, that's why, when it comes to the Seder night, for example, we don't just retell the story. It has to be in question and answer form. When we learn Gemara, it's in question and answer form. Why is that? Because if the Gemara read like a telephone book, muta, muta, asa, asa, muta, machlekas, muta, asa, there's no dvar chidush in that. That's boring. And a person will be switched off. When the question is asked, that opens the lathe, that opens the roish. Oh, that's a dvar chidush, a new question, a new angle, a new way of looking at it. But if not, if you enter that shahr of the Beis HaMikdash and then exit through the same shahr, all your inspiration will be lost. And he writes in great length, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that really is the great avoida that we have in our avoidas Hashem, always to look for the chiddush, to be mechadesh our ruchnias. Those who are with us on Monday night tfilavad, that's what we're trying to do. We daven every day for the last 30, 40, 60, 80 years. We're trying to give it hischadshus. Perhaps look at it at a different angle. Perhaps understand something in a deeper way, because when you have that hischadshus, then we no longer daven mechanically. The same is true with our learning. The same is true in all avodas Hashem. When all of us put on our tefillin this morning and we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we said Ve'erastich li lo'olam, you know what that means? Ve'erastich li lo'olam, I should be betrothed to you forever. Ask the Heilige Chasam Sofer in Parshas Bamidbar, why do we describe, why do we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our relationship to be one of erusin, being engaged, betrothed? Why don't we call it being married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he writes there so beautifully in Parshas Bamidbar, imagine coming into the engagement party of the Chosn and Kala, that immense excitement, everybody's cloud nine. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the way that we should feel in our Avodas Hashem, like it was that very first day, not when Chas V'Shalom things are becoming stale. Ve'erastichli, it should be with that same enthusiasm, as excitement, as the beginning of the Chosn and Kala's engaged life together. If we come back now to our Rashi, I think we will see a Dovor Niflo. We said that the famous translation in Rashi is that Aaron HaKohen Shaloi Shino, it means that he did not deviate. He did not alter, he always did it with the same hislavus, with the same simcha. And then we said that the Sfas Emes seems to be translating it the exact opposite. That he never did it as hishonos. It was never a chazara, it was always new. Aren't those two opposite translations? And the answer is, one complements the other. If you only follow the Sfas Emes, and you ensure that every day when you light the menorah there's a dvar chidush, then that is the way you will forever have the same hislavus. It's no stira whatsoever. To the contrary, one is mashlim the other. A person inevitably has maximum enthusiasm for a project when, on the first day. So how indeed did Aaron HaKohen ensure that he had enthusiasm every day? The answer is because of the Sfas Emes. Every day was the first day. This was never a repeat. He's not just lighting the menorah just like I did yesterday, but rather, as the Sfas Emes wrote, he ensured that he was able to be mamshich and oir chodosh ba'adlokas ha-menorah. And therefore, these two interpretations in Rashi are not opposite. They are, in fact, complementary. If indeed we ensure that there is a forever hischadshus, a freshness in our Avodas Hashem, then indeed one thing will not change, and that will be our enthusiasm for Avodas Hashem. So therefore, Elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim. When the Torah writes that Aaron HaKohen lo shino, he did not change. What does that mean, he did not change? He never lost his enthusiasm. Do you know how he ensured never lost the enthusiasm? By ensuring that every day there was a dvar chidush. Every day was a new angle, a new refreshed approach to Avlokas HaMenorah. If you ensure that every day there's no kishonos, there's no repeat, it's new, then indeed you can continue that Islavus forever, Lahagid Shvochoi Shalaroi Shaloi Shino. This is the great Yesoid that we see in Rashi and we learn from Aaron HaKohen. This terrible rut to be stuck in, as the Novi described it, Melumoda, when our Avodas Hashem becomes very mechanical. We put on tefillin just like we did yesterday. And we shake our lulav just like we did last year. And we learn Torah just like we did yesterday. There has to be new meaning. We have to develop our understanding. We have to bring about enthusiasm into our mitzvahs. Not that it should be a repeat, but rather it should be a new, fresh day, every day. And that way we can ensure that there will be forever excitement and hislavus in Avodas Hashem. Just in conclusion, I'd like to share with you what I told my family around the Shabbos table just the other week. When a person gets stuck in a rut with Avodas Hashem, as the Novi called it, melumodo, by rote, do you know why it is that a person gets stuck there sometimes? As we just said, he's not looking for the change. He's not looking for the upgrade. And why indeed is he not looking for the upgrade? Because he's convinced himself that he can't. I'm unable to do so. This is the way I've always davened, and this is the way I've always learned, and this is the way I've always done chesed, ma shehoya hu sheyia. And a person genuinely, but sometimes very mistakenly, convinces himself, I simply cannot change. You want me to look for the dvar chidush? You want me to deepen my appreciation for tefillah, but I can't, much as I would love to do so. So I told my family that during this period of Corona, there's something that shook me up, because towards the beginning of it all, before it became law that you had to walk around here in Eretz Yisrael with masks, I remember it was around about Pesach time, for the first time, somebody knocked on our door. I opened the door and I see somebody standing there with a mask. And what should I tell you? He looked ridiculous. This enormous blue and white mask. I thought, what's he doing? Purim all over again. And my first thought that went through my mind was, I know this particular person. No, it's Matin, as they say in Ivrit. It fits in with him. I know him. He's the type. He's not embarrassed. He's happy to walk around wearing anything. It might be a positive milah. Maybe it's a good thing. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm different. I don't think I'd be able to walk around in a mask. I think I would be very embarrassed. And I genuinely thought I'm not able to do so. And then 2 days later, I found myself walking in the street wearing a mask. Because the law had been passed, this is what you must do. So all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed me, that which you thought that I cannot do, apparently you are very much able to do. When the situation came about that you had to, you suddenly realize maybe it's not so embarrassing, or you realize even if it is, it's got to be done anyway. And this is what I told my children. The greatest prevention to any type of aliyah in Avodas Hashem are those terrible words, I can't. Those terrible words, I can't. I'm simply unable. Really? I thought I was unable to wear a blue mask in the middle of the street, and 2 days later I found myself doing just that. The next time we're looking to improve our Avodas Hashem, and we find ourselves saying or thinking, but I can't. I'm not really cut out for that. We should stop, and we should think, is that true? Or is that the Yetzer Hara having a field day, convincing us that we can't? I think if we ever needed an example in our generation of somebody who never said that I can't, then I think the obvious example that comes to mind is the Meir Rosh Hashiva, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When he once approached a wealthy individual, and he said to him, eye to eye, my dear friend, I'd like you to write a check for $1 million for the Meir Yeshiva. $1 million? Said this wealthy individual. But Rosh Hashiva, I can't! Ich kenn ich, I can't! And the Rosh Hashiva didn't flinch, and he looked at him and he said, I also can't, but I do anyway. And on the spot, he wrote a check for $1 million. Apparently, he was able to do so after all. Can you imagine? After Ameh Ve'estrim Shona, he would have come to the Bezdin Shalmalo, and they would have said to him, we would have let you into Gan Eden, but where's that $1 million donation that you never gave to the near yeshiva? And you would have said, but I couldn't. No, no, no. The near Rosh Hashiva taught you that you could. And indeed, Baruch Hashem, you did. This is our Avodah. We sometimes get trapped by the Yetzer Hara in Melumodah. We don't find that enthusiasm in Avodas Hashem, because it all becomes very mechanical. I've always learned this way, I've always davened this way, my midos have always been this way, I might indeed want to change, but I can't. We stop, and we look ourselves in the mirror and we say, I can't, or I won't, because perhaps indeed I can. I thought that I can't wear a mask in the street, and the next day, and every day since then, that's exactly what I've been doing. That is what we're learning from our Rashi. Lahagit shvachay shel aroin shaloi shino. Every day, a new way of lighting the menorah. How many different ways that could be? 40 years, make a calculation, times that by over 300. Tens of thousands of times he lit the menorah. Says the Sfas Emes, lo yishino. It was never a repeat. It was never a yishonos. And that's why, lo yishino. That's why it was never done with any less enthusiasm. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should indeed help us. But we also should see the fulfillment of this Rashi. The emphasis, the onus is on us to look for that Yitzchatshus, not be enticed, not be persuaded by the Yetzer Hara. And the next time we find ourselves thinking, but I can't, we just have to stop and say to ourselves, actually, maybe after all, I can. And it's Hashem, we will. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.